everyone. I'm Gray, creator of Devil's Lake Podcast, and I'm just here to tell you that we have a Twitter now. So you can follow us at Devil's Lake Pod, and there I will be posting updates of if there are episodes delays, when episodes are coming out, everything like that. So please follow us. It's just a really easier way to get updates on episodes and any extra information. So here is your next episode, and I hope you enjoy.
Episode 3. Oath.
Right, so, third recording made by Persephone Williams 3 weeks after the death of their grandmother. Sorry, I dropped my phone when I brought the package in, and the recording shut off on. I forgot to turn it back on till just now. Right, so the package. When I opened the door, I didn't see anyone. I couldn't see who delivered it. I looked around a bit outside, but with the storm, it's really hard to see anything, and I couldn't find anyone. Just the box. So I opened it. I mean, maybe I shouldn't have. It's a mysterious box in the middle of the night. It could have been dangerous, but my curiosity has always gotten the better of me. There was nothing dangerous in it, by the way. There was, well, most importantly, there was a journal. That was the main thing. My grandma's journal. I remember she used to bring that everywhere with her. I thought it was weird that I didn't find it when I cleaned the house, but I don't know. I had brushed off our tried to, I guess, and now it's here. I haven't seen it in so long. She's had it since she first took me in. I remember it was very soon after I started living with her. I'd had a nightmare, and I went to her room for comfort. She had been writing in her journal, and she left it open when she went to get me something to drink. I looked in it. I mean, I was just a kid, and I was bored. Been gone a minute or two, and I wanted to see what she had been writing. Could barely read her handwriting, but almost as soon as I touched it, she was back by my side and told me never to touch it again. I hadn't even heard her come in. She scared me half to death. She said it was hers, and it was very rude to look through others' property, and I should never look through things without asking. First lecture I ever got from her. Not the last, but that one stuck with me. It took me a while of just staring at it before I could even open it. I haven't read it yet. I'm about to. I just needed a moment. And then I remembered I should turn you back on. My phone, I mean the recorder, because you're not a... Well, anyway, it's not just because it was her journal. It's also very long. She's had it forever, as mentioned. I don't know what to think about that. I mean, this book could tell me more about her than she ever wanted me to know. But I think I kind of have to do it. I need to see if she knew what was going on. So... Let's dive in. First entry is from 1952. She was born in 1937 or 1935? I think it ended with an odd number. Maybe a 4? Anyway, she would have been a kid. Younger than me right now, I think. I'm putting this off a little. Staring at it is just so... I'll just read it. September 28th, 1952. Someone is following me. This guy, I don't know. I've never seen him before, but he's watching me. All the time. When I'm going to and from school, when I'm at work, even when I'm out with Damien, he's there. Standing in the doorway and alleys, just in the shadows. I never see his face. He always had it covered in a hat and this long jacket with a popped collar. Damien never notices him, and neither do my friends at school. I asked them, and they act like I was going crazy. Told them I was imagining things. I worry that they're right. That I might be going insane. I mean, what else am I supposed to call it when I'm seeing things that other people don't? But at the same time, I don't want this to be real. He scares me. I don't know why he's watching me, why it's only me who sees him. I don't think I want to find out. And then the next entry. September 30th, 1952. He's still following me. I've stopped going out when I don't need to. No more movies or corner stores or parks. No matter where I was, who I was with, I couldn't lose that feeling. Like I was being watched. I hoped this would make it go away, but it hasn't. I hoped this would make it go away, but it hasn't helped. He's outside now, standing on the corner. My curtains are closed, but I can still feel him, watching. And now I don't even have a boyfriend to talk to about it. Me refusing to go out was the last straw for him, and breaking up seems like such a silly thing, because we hadn't even been dating all that long, but I guess I thought he'd stay with me. No matter what this ended up being. I guess I was too much for him. Poor guy. Next page. October 5th, 1952. It's getting worse. It's no longer just when I'm outside that I see him. Now it's in my dreams. I dream about him. Every night, it's the same thing. I don't even know how I know it's him, because he doesn't look like he does when I see him outside. I can see his face now. He just watches me with those eyes and teeth, and I don't remember it. I know I dream about him, and I know there's something wrong with him, but I don't remember what he looks like. Every time I wake up, it's just gone. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I haven't been sleeping, and Ma's starting to notice. She asked me what was wrong, and I tried to brush it off, but I can't do this for much longer. October 9th, 1952. It's over. I think I stopped it. Oh God, I don't know what I've done. It wasn't my fault. He just attacked me, and I didn't know what to do. He was just fighting back, and oh God, what have I done? This wasn't my fault. I was walking home from school, and Connie refused to give me a ride home like she usually does, because she had somewhere to go, but she didn't tell me until after the bus left, so I had to walk home. Alone. At first, it was fine. I didn't see him. That should have been my first sign that something was wrong. While I was walking along the path through the woods, he came back. Just stepped out from behind a tree. Like he had been there the whole time, waiting. And this time, I could see his face. I remember what was so wrong about it. The first thing I noticed was his eyes, this putrid yellow color like rotting toenails. And then his smile. I don't think you could even call it a smile. It was more, his mouth had no choice but to make that shape. No way his lips could bend to cover those teeth. They couldn't be human. They were deep, dark brown, and not in an unhealthy way. They didn't seem particularly weak or broken, just tall and thin and uniform. Every tooth in that mouth looked exactly the same and sharp. And then he spoke to me. His voice was a low hiss which dragged along the dried leaves and tangled in my skirts. I didn't hear what he said at first, so he whispered it again. Hey, girlie. I was frozen. I thought it was a dream at first, but this, it felt more real than any dream I've ever had. I still hope I'm about to wake up. He lunged at me and knocked me over. I managed to wiggle out of his grasp, and I don't know, it just happened all so fast.
There was a stick on the ground, and I was trying to hurt him long enough to run, but it just sunk into him. Not through him, not like he was a ghost. I definitely hit something, but it was more like rotting meat. Squishy and pliable. His eyes opened wider as it plunged into him, and he opened his mouth, so I ran. I ran faster than I ever have home, and I locked myself in my room. I think I killed him. I killed that man, or monster, or whatever the hell he was. I haven't seen him since he attacked me. I haven't felt him watching me. I think he's finally gone.
It's real. My grandmother saw monsters, and they are real. They were real. What's happening to me right now is real. Is this what killed her? Some monster she thought she could take care of, or a stranger on the street? Maybe this was a one-time thing. Maybe this is just a coincidence. Maybe she looked back and it never happened again. I need to read the rest. I think I have to turn you off while I read. I don't want to read it all out loud, and you can't just sit here in silence. My throat is hurting a little, so just give me a sec. I have not read it all yet, but I need to take a break. I needed to stop, so I figured I'd summarize and see if it helps me understand. The attack, it got her interested in what was out there. She didn't want to look back. She wanted to know what would have happened if he caught her, and if there were more people out there, like, yeah. So she started working at the library to see what she could find. She got a job so she could search the books they had without making her parents worry. She says her dad always told her these kind of things were evil, like vampires and witchcraft and voodoo and stuff, and she hid it from them. But it looks like she was transfixed. By how much she wrote here, it's like she tried to record everything she learned, which was a lot. I mean, not a lot of it makes sense to me. She used shorthand, and it was really mixed up, at least in the beginning. She couldn't go to college, so she kept working at the library. Kept asking around. She met someone, a man. She never refers to him by name, just calls him B. She did that a lot for these kind of things, though. After her first story, it all gets kind of vague. I think she was afraid of someone finding it. Didn't want to give too much away if she happened to lose it. She said he knew a lot about what kind of monster she was looking for, that she was hunting. They got really close, I think, and they started hunting together. She's learning how to track them and kill them. And I think they were together, like married together. She doesn't say anything about it at first, but the time periods are right for when she met my grandpa, and she goes quiet for about a year and a half from 1956 to 1957, and that's when my dad was born. But her next entry is, it's bad. She wrote something attacked them. Something got into their house. There was an attack, and Grandma got away with my dad, but B didn't. He didn't make it out, and the thing got away. And I don't know, it stopped there. There's another gap, a big one too. About 11 years, actually. And she just stopped hunting. For years.
It's like when Bee died, she decided there's no reason to continue with it. I guess now that she was raising my dad on her own, there was no way she even could. And then, October 18th, 1964, something happened. Again, it isn't really clear. Nothing in here is all that clear, but she just said, "It's back." At least that's all I can make out. Something was spilled on the page. But after that, she's back to haunting. No explanation for what happened. Just once a week, she'd write an update on what she'd been doing. Who she'd been tracking. Or hunting. It carries on like that for a couple of years, and the writing's a lot less frequent than when she started, but I don't think it was because she was hunting less, necessarily. I think she wrote in this journal to collect new information, but there's just not that many new things for her to learn. I skipped a lot of these parts, I stopped when she got to 1992. It was the year she took me in. And there's not much here. Nothing about me or my parents' accident. I should have expected it. She didn't really write about stuff, but I mean, she was still hunting when she took me in. She still made reports about what she found or learned. Same old boring reports that are in every few pages, but nothing about her life. Nothing about how she took in her grandchild or lost her son. Nothing that explains whatever happened to my parents. Nothing that helped me learn anything beyond the fact that she was an old lady who apparently was going crazy because she was fighting monsters, and those don't exist. They can't. No. You know what? I don't want this. I don't want this mystery or this life or your monsters, and I don't want your goddamn ghosts haunting me until I do something for you. I can't do anything for you, Graham. I don't even know what you want. What? No witty retort of putting me in my place? Of course not. You're dead. I still need a break. I don't know what to think. Okay. I'm back. I've had some breakfast, some water, and went for a walk. I'm feeling better. I feel better. Now that I'm caffeinated, I realize I probably should have started in the back, near the relevant stuff, but I'm kind of glad I started at the beginning. This way I got to know her a little. Better than I ever did before. I think I need to talk to Miss Rooks. My gran didn't say much, but she mentioned her and she kind of implied something that could help. If it was real, at least. And she might be the only one my grandma trusted enough to help me figure this out. I'm going to talk to her now. It's 6 in the morning, so she should be up. I think I'll take you with me, so I can listen back and make sure I don't sound like I'm hysterical, obviously. And I don't know. There's something comforting about having you along with me.
Oh, hello, dear. Ma, it is early. What are you doing over here?
Nah, come in. I won't have you standing out there all day.
I found this. It was my grand's, and it mentioned you. I have a question.
Oh, that old thing. I thought it must have been lost with her body. It's good that you found it. We can't have that getting into the wrong hands. You know, your grandmother
was... Are you a witch?
What?
Because my grand said you are, or implied you are, and she implied you can help.
Oh, Lord, she always did give me way more credit than I deserved. Follow me. And turn that recorder off. I don't want to interfere with my work.
Oh, right. Sure.